is my song. Yes, it's me doing both today. I'm not calling up another preacher. Rob was desperate. Words you don't really want to begin an introduction with. And I said, but I'm leading singing. Oh, you can get someone else. But anyways, we're here. A stool is here. I can't imagine why. I asked for it. I'm going to try to sit in it, and you guys can just laugh how many times I get up. But we are going to continue our study in Philippians in chapter 1. We'll be beginning in verse 12. Don't you love the way the book of Philippians begins, though? And just a quick review, as Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just, again, just to review, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What a wonderful introduction. And I felt in so many ways, I feel like that about the church here at Leander. I get the opportunity to travel, to visit. It's always exciting to see what other churches are doing, but it's always good to be home. Just looking around, I see so many of you have meant so much to my family, to me personally. Your encouragement, your life, the way you've shared your life with us, your faith, your determination, your unwavering faith, your faults, your mistakes. Believe it or not, those do a lot to encourage me. How did you overcome them? Now, Paul goes on in verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me really serve to advance the gospel. And we can almost stop right there. Paul, what did happen to you? We're going to read the rest of this section. We'll find out. But Paul, what an amazing thing. What an amazing thing to say, because he is in prison. Oh, sure, he's got palace guards, but he is in prison. He is in chains. And he writes to the church of Philippi, and he tells them, good things are happening. Blessings are happening. Now, this isn't just a one-of for Paul. You remember Romans 8:28, right? Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose, or if you like the ESV. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We're reminded that it doesn't say everything works out for me, but it says all things work together for good for those who are called. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we could reference that whole section 9 through 11, he's talking about, when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. So he's talking about the various situations that he's been in, the various difficulties that he has undergone. But they've been good. They've actually made him stronger. And even as we look ahead in the book of Philippians in chapter 4 and 11 through 13, you know these verses are almost like Hallmark cards, aren't they? I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Any and every situation, I've learned to be content. In our own history, I think about a song that was written. It was written in 1944 by Johnny Mercer. who's called Accentuate the Positive. Accentuate the Positive. Now, you remember 1944, World War II was going on. There is still, things are looking good, they're looking better, but there is still much ahead. A full year of fighting. Many lives will be lost. But Johnny Mercer writes this, it becomes a hit. Accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. The song goes on to illustrate my last remark. Jonah and the whale. Let's not get a theological discussion on the whale, all right? But Jonah and the whale, Noah and the ark. What did they do when everything looked so dark? They accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Many of you may know Mrs. Singleton. One of her sons is named Kent Singleton. I loved working with Kent, but I would always forget and mess up. I would ask him how his day was going. I knew what he was going to say. I should have, but I would forget it. He'd always say, good, good, good. Couldn't be better. But if it did, I look forward to the opportunity of that challenge and taking it on. It was something like that. At least that's how I remember it. I knew Kent's life. I knew the struggles that were going on within his family, the way he was trying to help and encourage those daughters, those granddaughters of his. There was a lot to turn a young man gray. But every time he would say, good, good, good. Couldn't be better. But if it was, I'd be up to the challenge to take that on and see what it would be like. So I love that. Where does it come from? I think it comes from Paul. I think it comes from learning. But let's talk a little bit about Paul. Paul owes us almost a little biography here, doesn't he? Paul, you were on the fast track in Judaism, weren't you? A Pharisee of Pharisees. And then you got knocked down on the road in the dirt, didn't you? Off your donkey. And blinded. And Paul might say, you know, Daryl, it was then and only then that I began to really see. You see, I was blind. But now I see. And he had to be humbled. And he had to walk and get help from others. He was kind of shunned by other Christians. Where's the blessing in that? Shunned by your own group? They didn't trust him. You know what Paul might have said? That's where I met a Barnabas. That's where I met a Barnabas. He came through. And he and I, we went and did things that no one else would have done. We went areas where no one else was teaching. Accentuate the positive. He might go on and on. Paul had great success, but what does great success bring? Jealousy. And anything you can think of. Accusations, whatever. Difficulty, trouble. And that's from the people that supposedly are on his side. We haven't even talked about the people in city to city who did what? Stoned him. Beat him. For doing what? Well, I healed someone. Well, I brought the good news of Jesus Christ. And I preached peace and living under authorities. That's what I preached. Paul, where's the blessing in that? So, you know, Daryl, it kept me moving. I'd get thrown out of one city. I knew it was time to go to what? The next city. And the next city. And by the time things settled down, I came back through and I appointed elders. You know, once I was shipwrecked. But the lives that I touched during that time were incredible. The lessons that were learned, the faith that was grown. And we could go on and on and on. Now just pretend for a moment that Paul was just blessed with the cream puff life. You know what I mean? Everything he touches just works out great. He's got no trouble in the world. He's got no thorn in the flesh. Take away all that. Who is Paul? How valuable is he? How inspiring is he? Or do we, even as Christians, like, well, sure, you were an apostle. You could just make everything turn out the way you wanted it to. But that wasn't at all the case. Now, what's interesting is that Paul here, going back to Philippians, is in prison. But yet people still want to say there's some bad stuff going on. So in verse 13, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for not the evil that I've done, but for Christ. They've been spending time with me. They've gotten to know who I am. They know this isn't right. They know that I am simply here because of Jesus Christ, whom he preaches consistently and lovingly. He's not causing disruption. But he says, because of my chains, look what it's done to you. Most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. What would you give to turn this church into courageously speaking Jesus Christ? Fearlessly speaking Jesus Christ. What would you suffer for that? What sacrifice would be worth that kind of transformation? Could Paul have preached a sermon that invoked that kind of passion? What did that for him? It took chains. It took unjust punishment. It is true, and this is interesting, so much good is going on, but Paul still addresses it. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. What's Paul saying? There's a lot of good going on. Courageous, fearlessly preaching. There's some doing it out of envy. There's some doing it out of strife. But there's a lot of good going on. Now, you know it's coming. You know it's coming. Paul's just not one of these que sera sera guys, is he? He's not one of these whatever will be. He addresses those difficult situations. He addresses false teachers. He goes after them. Let's go ahead and jump into Philippians chapter 3 and just give you a taste of it. Paul writes in verse 2, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. Whoa, Paul. What happened to que sera sera? I thought about this for a while. What was that the people were telling Paul? What was it? He's saying people are out there spreading the gospel and you're in prison. They may be doing it selfishly. They may be doing it, but by and large, they're doing it fearlessly, courageously. Paul can look back on his life and see all the difficulties and see what? How God has worked in every one of those events, worked in every one of those people, worked to spread the gospel. Every one of his stripes, every one of those stones thrown at him, has been used to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think he's saying, don't worry what other people say. Don't worry about motives. It doesn't matter. He's not saying that. But he's saying, in a large way, to me personally, Daryl, cool it. Cool it. It's not all up to you. It's not all about you. You know what? Most of the good in the world is done by someone other than me. Did y'all know that? Most of the good in the world is done by someone other than me. I kind of need some help if we're going to get some good going. Because it's up to me, we're going to fail. Paul's in chains. He's in prison. But outside, they're preaching the Word of God. What gets Paul upset is when he sees those he loves being attacked. What doesn't upset Paul? When you attack him. And that's what's going on here. Let's continue. The latter do so in love. Okay, who are they? Oh, they do it out of goodwill. They do it in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. Those former ones, who are they? Envy and rivalry. Preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. Take advantage of the situation while I am in chains. Use it to their advantage while Paul is in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Because of this, I rejoice. It's still... And it's the human side of me. It still troubles me. But you gotta do it right. You can't do it for wrong motives. You can't do it for selfish ambition. You can't be spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where it's humbling is when you look at that mirror over the vanity. You know what I mean? That mirror in the bathroom is interesting how it's called the vanity. Well, Daryl, we were waiting for you. And we're still waiting. But this guy's here. Now, Paul knows what he can come out, he can unteach, he can set things straight. But I think even more importantly, what does he know? God is in control. He works things out. He's worked things out through Jesus Christ. He's worked things out in Paul's life. Okay? He's working things out in your life. And I began to think, what are the greatest assets in our church? What are the greatest stories? You know what they're born out of? They're born out of people doing it wrong. Doing it selfishly. Doing it. And their life just almost imploding. Just like the prodigal son. They come to their senses. And they say, there's something better for me in my Father's house. But they come back humble. They come back a servant. They come back with a story about God's grace and God's love. If you're like me, we pray fervently for God's protection on our kids. God does a great job, but do you think He protects them from everything? And I should say thank you, because through those experiences, they learn to grow. They learn to rely on God. I've told many of the stories. Hope loses a shoe at the beginning of a 2-mile race. Runs it with one shoe. Why? Didn't know you could quit. Didn't know you could quit. Didn't know you could stop. Courage. If they've never known failure, does that prepare them for life? But this next, we're going to sing this next song, 490. You're familiar with the story. It's Horatio Spafford, his wife Anna. They have, in a sense, lived through the turmoil of the Civil War. He's a lawyer. He's successful. They're living in Chicago. It's booming. Everything is going right. They've got a son. They've got 4 daughters. And it's almost like Job. The son dies at 4. Scarlet fever. In 1871... Or at 1871, as if things aren't bad enough. You know, all those investments he had in Chicago, they got burned up in the Chicago fire. Gone. He starts to rebuild. There's another economic upheaval in 73. He says, this time I think I'll go find my friend, the Reverend Moody. He's over in England. He's preaching. But something keeps him in Chicago while he sends his wife and his daughters on. You know that part of the story. It's November. It's a shipwreck in the Atlantic. Though the mother tries to save all 4, when she comes to, she's rescued. The daughters, 11-year-old Annie, 9-year-old Margaret Lee, 5-year-old Elizabeth, and 2-year-old Tanita are gone. When she gets back to Wales, she sends back a telegram. All lost, save one. All lost, save one. Someone else, she reported that she also said, I have lost all 4 daughters. One day, I'll understand why. It's not the typical response, is it? You expect bitterness. You expect anger. But she says, I've lost 4 daughters. One day, I will understand why. So her husband comes to get her. They try to rebuild their life. They have a son and 2 daughters, and it doesn't turn rosy. The son dies. The daughters stay with them, but during this time, their own church really hit them hard. They said, this must be punishment. This is so awful. It must be from God being punishing you. You must have done something. Imagine the hurt that they must have felt. And so they even had to deal with that. Now they go on, and they don't just curl up and die and roll away and hide under a rock. They don't say just, that's enough, I quit. They start orphanages. They go to the Holy Lands, and whatever religion you are, they're helping people. And they help hundreds, they help thousands. And it's amazing transformation. It is an amazing way of dealing with the adversities in life that is so humbling to me. I don't belittle anyone what you're going through. I know some of the smallest things, in a sense, in life can be the biggest struggle. We've all got struggles. But to have that kind of faith, one day, I'm going to know why. But in the meantime, I press on, I press on, I press on. I trust in God. God is in control. The key aspect there is, what do I control? When it really comes down to it, what do I control? But who? Just me. Just me. What I do with what life throws at me. What do I do? And the more we can say, like Paul, all things work together for good. For those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. I've learned to be content in every situation. The better we'll be able to deal with the difficulties and struggles of this life. But there's one more key thing that I want you to hold on to. You don't have to do it alone. We're here for you. We're here for you. We bear each other's burdens. We love one another. We pray for one another. God's here. Let's take a look at the assets that we do have. Isn't that what they're doing in Houston on the coast? Isn't that the way to rebuilding of Florida after an Irma? Isn't that the way of rebuilding in the tragedies in this life? Trust in God. If we can help you in any way, I don't expect me to get through this song with dry eyes, but let's all sing it together. This time, really knowing the story of Horatio Spafford and his wife Anna. When peace like a river, come, let us help you. Stand as we sing. When